Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to this episode of Fake TV Critic, a podcast where I discuss the week's biggest TV news headlines, recap and analyze some of my favorite shows, and let you know what you should be watching. We're going to real quick do some renewals and cancellations, and then we're jumping right into what is my recap, my review, and the biggest TV news headlines, because if you are a Bravo fan, you know exactly what I'm about to start talking about. So first in renewals and cancellations, renewed. Hallmark renewed The Way Home for season two. Barmageddon, which is like that Blake Shelton trivia show with celebrity thing on USA, which apparently Middle America loved, got renewed for season two. And CBS renewed a slew of things for new seasons. Survivor, The Amazing Race, Tough as Nails, Lingo, NCIS, NCIS Hawaii, and CSI Vegas. And also Fox is really going in hard on their new animated series Crapopolis, which hasn't even premiered yet, but they already ordered a season three. So even though no one has seen a single second of this damn show, they are banking so hard on it that it's going to be on the air for at least 3 years, whenever the hell it actually happens, which I'm assuming is going to be in the fall. But yeah, that's created by Dan Harmon, who did Rick and Morty and Community. Such a strange decision, but good on you. Canceled. HBO Max canceled Southside after three seasons. This was a shocker to me, at least. Succession, which is premiering its fourth season later this month. It was announced this is going to be its final season as well, this upcoming fourth season. I think part of it is, you know, HBO and its model changes very frequently. They very often, like, will send shows out on a high, and, like, they don't pull Grey's Anatomy or something where it drags along for 20 years. No, they have endings in mind, and their shows are expensive. So I guess on that level, I get it. And also, Brian Cox has been going and giving interviews about how much it sucks working with the guy who plays his son, Jeremy Strong, I think his name is, because he's always in character. He's a quote-unquote method actor, so he's always in character, and Brian Cox is like, it's fucking annoying. That's a direct quote. It's fucking annoying. So I wonder if there's some tension back there, and they were trying to renew contracts, and people were like, no, I'm fucking done. But regardless, season four is premiering at the end of March, and it's going to be the final season. This current season of The Goldbergs on ABC, its 10th season, will also be its last. Paramount Plus announced the upcoming season of Star Trek Discovery, which Paramount Plus really built its brand on, is going to be its final season. And then adding to how the Wild West of daytime TV coming up next season, Rachel Ray is leaving her talk show and started her own production company for food TV series. But, you know, between that and then Dr. Phil is going off the air, which, like, good riddance, bitch. But still, Maury is ending or has ended. I forget. Ellen is ending or has ended. Again, I forget. What else? The Doctors ended, I think, last year. One Day at a Time or One Life to Live, Days of Our Lives. I don't fucking know. One of them is on Peacock now. I think General Hospital might be the only one left. The only soap opera. No, Bold and the Beautiful is still on. There's a very scant, less than a handful of soap operas left. So, like, but then, you know, we have Jennifer Hudson's new show is doing well. Kelly Clarkson is definitely doing well. But then we had Drew Barrymore. Her show got cut back to a half an hour. Weird. It's weird. Daytime TV is going through a big old shift. And here's the latest addition to that is Rachel Ray's show has been canceled. Okay. Bravo bitches, strap in. Let's talk Vanderpump Rules. Okay. Now, if you are a Bravo fan, you will appreciate this. Obviously, you have absolutely heard what's happened. If you're not a Bravo fan, I say listen and pay attention because if you like mess, you will love not only Vanderpump Rules as the show, at least most of it, but you will love the story that I'm about to get into. Okay, so Vanderpump Rules is currently airing its 10th season. This show has been around literally for a decade now, and It started as like a young, sexy housewives spinoff. The very first scene was a transition from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills into Vanderpump Rules. And it started basically as like a Lisa Vanderpump spinoff, where it was going to follow her businesses. But it turned into kind of like The Real World in a way, or The Hills, but like a sexier Bravo Real Housewife-ified version. Real House wife feed version of The Hills. And it was all the employees at Sir, which is one of Lisa Vanderpump's restaurants, and like their personal lives, and they were all dating and all that kind of shit. And it very quickly turned into a youthful reality soap opera and kind of established itself as a younger version of these housewife shows. And it inspired Summer House, which is also airing. And it's been a Bravo staple. And at one point, I think was doing almost as well or better than Real Housewives of Beverly Hills and many of the other Housewives franchises. It fell apart a little bit. And by a little bit, I mean almost completely in recent seasons. I want to say season like 8 and 9, at least, maybe even 7. Because I don't remember what exactly happened in 7, but like 8, 9, really bad seasons, especially season 9, which was last season. And part of that is because when you're following young people for 10 years, they obviously are going to grow up. You know, they're going to start settling down. You're a different person at 30 than you are at 20 or 21. You're a different person at 32 than you are at 22, or at least you should be, especially when their careers took off with they did on this show. And then when that happened, like, they forgot, or not forgot, they didn't really know what to do with Lisa Vanderpump, and she became kind of like a weird background, unnecessary character on what used to be her own show. It got bogged down, and like, everyone matured. And, you know, that's fine, but we don't follow these particular people because we want to see them act in a mature way, or we want to see them get married and have kids and dogs and stuff. We're watching them because they're fucking messes. So let's set the scene. Season 1, like I said, the first scene was a transition from Beverly Hills Housewives. And that scene was Brandi Glanville confronting Sheena Shea, who was a server, or Sheena, she wasn't Shea yet. Sheena, who was a server at Sir, who had had an affair with Brandi's husband, one of many, and was one of the catalysts of breaking up Brandi's marriage to Eddie Cibrian. Sheena fucked him, slept with him, blah, blah, blah. Was in a relationship more. She didn't just fuck him. They were in a relationship. And Brandi was on Housewives, and Sheena worked at the restaurant. So, like, what a great setup, right? So it was a confrontation between the two of them, and it was in the restaurant. And then it transitioned from Brandi in the front of the restaurant and followed Sheena into the back room as she went to place the order. Perfect transition, fucking cinema, right? And then we get the rest of the characters working at Sir. We meet Kristen Doty, Katie Maloney, Tom Sandoval, Jax Taylor, and Stassi Schroeder, okay? And then we also are introduced on the side to Tom Schwartz, who is dating Katie Maloney. So this big cast of people, right? So Stassi and Jax are a couple. They're like the it couple of Sir. Kristen and Tom Sandoval are also a couple. Then Katie, who works with them and is best friends with Stassi and Kristen, is dating Tom Schwartz, who is a model. And then Tom Schwartz and Tom Sandoval are best friends. It's very incestuous. The whole point of this show in early seasons is that it was incestuous. And I got into like an argument with younger, newer Bravo fans on Twitter this week about like, this is what the show is. The whole foundation of this show is everyone knows each other, is friends, but is also fucking each other behind their partner's backs. Okay, so back to, and I'll return to this fight in a moment. So back to the relationships. So Kristen and Tom are dating Sandoval. Kristen and Sandoval are dating. But then Kristen has these suspicions that Tom is cheating on her. So she's painted out to be a crazy person because she's digging into his texts, and he goes on a vacation to Miami, and she thinks that he's like cheating on her with these Miami girls. Then later in season 1, she has suspicions that Sandoval is cheating on her with Sheena's best friend, Ariana. Now, Sheena is the only one who's on the outs. None of the people in these relationships, Katie, Tom, Katie Schwartz, Stassi, Jax, Kristen Sandoval, none of them like Sheena. because one, she's the odd girl out, and two, they think she's a home wrecker, which, like, the call's coming from inside the house, bitches. But anyway, so Sheena's trying to be friends with them. It's not really working. But then her friend Ariana comes in and Sandoval takes a liking to her, but Sandoval's with Kristen. So Kristen suspects that Sandoval's cheating on her with Ariana in these first couple of seasons. Then it comes out in season two that Kristen actually cheated on Sandoval with Jax, who was dating Stassi. But in season one, Jax and Stassi broke up for a little bit, and it became like the second half of the season was about Jax trying to get back with Stassi, who was then also hooking up with Frank, who worked at Sir. Fucking crazy. So then Jax decides to hook up with Laura Lee, who also works at Sir and is an actress. She was in that Jennifer Aniston, Jason Sudeikis, if you were the Millers. She played a stripper. So Jax and Laura Lee start fucking everywhere. Like, in public, in dressing rooms. Laura Lee, like, gets a very unhealthy attachment to him, accuses him of, like, of almost getting her pregnant, and then the season ends with Jax and Stassi getting back together. Fucking insanity, right? Then we find out again in season two that Kristen has cheated on Sandoval with Jax, who cheated on Stassi and Laura Lee with Kristen. Then later it comes out that Sandoval and Kristen, when they break up, that, like, he actually may have been in a relationship or dating Ariana the whole time. Then he and Ariana are together from season three to present. Are you keeping up? The whole time also, Katie and Tom Schwartz are in a relationship. They are the most stable, quote unquote, of everyone, but, like, they're not stable. So Katie is always jealous of Schwartz. Schwartz, like, will randomly make out with people. And because Sandoval and Jax are cheaters and he's their best friends, like, he just kind of gets lumped in with the cheaters. But he's also lazy. We don't really know what he does for a job. He, like, models sometimes, but also, like, doesn't really do anything else. We just see him, like, tanning. And it at some point then, he and Katie get engaged. They get married, I think, in season six. Sheena is now in a relationship with this guy, Mike Shea. They get married on the show. Kristen is now dating James Kennedy, who is Lisa's son's best friend and also the godson of Boy George or George Michael, something like that. One of the British Georges who's gay. Boy George or George Michael, I forget which. Maybe George. I don't fucking know. Anyway, James comes onto the scene and he starts dating Kristen because she and Sandoval have broken up. Sandoval and Ariana are together. Kristen and James start dating. At Sheena's wedding, they get into fights because Kristen and they, like, can't be faithful to each other either. So then Kristen punches James in the face at Sheena's wedding. Next season or two seasons later, Sheena's wedding marriage falls apart because her husband's addicted to drugs. Allegedly, I think that's in my head. I don't know if that's true. Yeah, no, he was totally on drugs. Anyway. So now Sheena is single. She starts dating this guy during the pandemic, Brock. She has a baby eventually. Like, the relationships on the show, again, in and out, so crazy. Okay, so then at some point around season 7 or 8, it's revealed that Jax, who is now in a relationship with Brittany, who is from Kentucky and who he met in Vegas on a boys trip and then moved to LA with him, he paid for her boob job, paid for her relocation, but then treats her like shit their entire relationship, cheats on her left and right. He cheats on her with Faith, who also works at Sir and is the only black cast member. And they fuck in front of a woman, an old woman that Faith is the caretaker for. And they literally have sex in the house, in the room with the old woman. So gross. Brittany finds out. They break up. They get back together. Now they're married. Their wedding happened on camera. They have a fucking spinoff about going to Kentucky to meet Brittany's family. It's wild. So now Brittany and Jax, they're doing their thing. But sometime around then, Stassi, Kristen, and Jax all get fired from the show because it comes out, this is during the pandemic, 2020, Black Lives Matter, George Floyd. It comes out that they had played a prank on Faith, again, the only black cast member on the show, where they, like, called the cops and reported Faith as this person of interest in a crime. Obviously racist, not a great look, so they all get fired. Right around that time is when everyone decides we're adults now, and the show loses all interest, for me personally. They bring on a bunch of new people, like, who they also didn't vet and have made like homophobic and racist remarks online. Lala comes on. She starts getting in a relationship, in like a friendship with James, who is dating this new girl, Raquel, after he and Kristen have broken up. Then James and Lala have, and it comes out this season that during that time, James and Lala had sex while James was with Raquel and Lala was with her ex-fiance Randall, who is now like persona non grata in Hollywood and allegedly like stole a bunch of money from people and is like being sued left and right. But it's also the father of Lala's baby. Which brings us to season 10. Katie and Schwartz, who got married in season 6, I want to say. Maybe that was that Sheena? No, that was Schwartz. Katie and Schwartz got married in like season 6. They are now getting a divorce. And part of it, I think, is because Katie and Schwartz never should have gotten married in the first place. He likes to make out with people while he's drunk and blackout. And, you know, she's not the nicest person. And, like, they're just bad for each other and in general. So they're getting a divorce. And now it's coming out on the show that, like, Schwartz and Raquel, again, who was engaged to James and is now broken up. James is with somebody else. That, like, they kind of have eyes for each other. So that's all the incestuousness of this show. And if you are lost, welcome to the club, but please go to Peacock and watch all of Vanderpump Rules from the very beginning. Seasons 1 and 2 of Vanderpump Rules are peak reality TV. It is such good trash television. I can't even explain to you. If you love chaos, if you love awful people being awful, if you love shows like The Real World, The Housewives, The Hills, Laguna Beach, the A-List, or, you know, Real Friends of WeHo, like whatever, any, like all of these like overly dramatic, if you like soap operas, all these overly dramatic shows, Vanderpump Rules does it better than all of them. It's so fucking good, at least, especially seasons 1 and 2. But I would say probably all the way up to, like, maybe season 5 or 6. Then it starts to go a little downhill after that, once, like, everyone starts having babies and getting married and sharing custody of their fucking dogs. But it's so good, right? So now here we are, season 10. The show was awful the past couple of seasons. Like I said, people were acting like, oh, I'm adults. We're going to open businesses. And we're going to have kids. And we're going to get married. And we're going to have dogs. And we're going to buy houses. And it's like, enough. Just sleep with each other. Well, we got our fucking wish. Because it came out this week that Sandoval and Ariana, who have been together since season 3, I want to say, of the show, so like almost a decade, and have been a constant on the show. Sandoval's a weirdo. I've never liked him. He's always been like a cartoon character, and I like, he always seems so fake on TV, like, and considering he wanted to be an actor before he got the show, not surprising. What was I saying? Oh, so Sandoval and Ariana have been together seemingly forever in the context of the show, considering everyone else, not, you know, disregarding that Tom and Kristen were dating before Ariana and Tom, that like they've been like the most mature in a way and like the most constant on the show, where everyone else is like breaking up and getting divorced and cheating. They seem to be above it all until it comes out that Sandoval and Raquel, who, mind you, is like getting in the middle of Schwartz and Katie's divorce because she wants to sleep with Schwartz because she, quote, has a crush on him. It comes out that she's been fucking Sandoval the whole time. Allegedly for months, they have been in a relationship, and it all blew up last week when Ariana found sexts on Sandoval's phone from Raquel, including videos of Raquel fingering or pleasuring whatever herself. God, the explicit warning on this episode is legit, y'all. Sorry. Pleasuring herself, and sent videos to Tom. And I'm just going to, the Reddit response to this, whether this is true or not, it's probably not, but I love to think that it is that Ariana found Tom's phone, found the videos, the text, the pictures, sent it to Raquel from Ariana's phone and said, "You're dead to me." How dramatic. Like, I hope that it's real, because like that is some shit that you can't write. It's just too perfect. It's like the kind of shit that you think about, like, you know, when you're in a fight, Or you're about to talk to someone and you plan the fight out in your head, or you plan out what you're going to say in your head, and then it doesn't go according to plan ever. But like, you think about it. Am I the only one who does this? If you do this, please let me know, because maybe I'm just like schizophrenic. But you like you have the whole conversation in your head. You like you're in the shower for 20 minutes and you're thinking, this is what I'm gonna say, this is what they're gonna say, this is what my retort's gonna be. And it's like a brilliant script you've written in your head. Or you have a fight with someone, you can't stop thinking about it, and afterwards you're like, oh, that's what I should have said. And it usually comes to you while you're like, you know, making oatmeal or in the shower or like doing laundry or folding laundry or some shit. And you can't stop thinking about it, you're like, God damn it, that's what I should have said. Fuck. This that like this response, you're like sending her own pussy vid back to her and being like, you're dead to me. That is such one of those responses where you're in the shower folding laundry, you're like, oh fuck, how great would it have been if I said that? So I truly hope it's real, because for all of our sakes, because we've all had those moments where we wish that we had said the thing, and Ariana said the thing. Ariana said the thing. That's another. Why was that so popular for like 48 hours? Why did everyone lose their shit? We've all already stopped talking about it. Angela Bassett did the thing. Like, what? I'm sorry, tangent. Ariana DeBose is the first queer woman of color to ever win an Oscar. For acting, at least. I think across the board, but at least for acting. And everyone on the internet's like, oh my God, she's an icon. Slay. Yes, idol mama. Because she like did a weird rap at the BAFTAs. She's an icon forever. She's gay royalty, my queen. And it's all over one line of rapper. Angela Bassett did the thing. When she was in fucking West Side Story, Steven Spielberg, West Side Story remake, played Anita, won an Oscar. Queer woman won an Oscar. But we're going to remember her for Angela Bassett did the thing. I hate the internet. Anyway, back to Ariana did the thing. So she allegedly sent this video back and said, you're dead to me. And Raquel allegedly was with Sheena because they're friends at the time. And on this season of the show, which has already filmed, they're tight because they're both kind of on the outs. Raquel because she's getting in the middle of the divorce, and Sheena because she's like supporting Raquel getting in the middle of the divorce, right? And like as much as they've like pretended to be friends over the years, no one has ever liked Sheena on the show. Like she and Katie have never actually been close, even though they were like at each other's weddings or in each other's weddings, I forget. But like they never actually liked each other, and now here's an excuse for them to fight again, right? Okay. Allegedly, when Raquel got the text, she was with Sheena, and Sheena saw it and punched Raquel in the face. And this sounds like some like scripted shit, but like I really hope that it's true, because God damn it, can you fucking imagine? Can you imagine like this again? First, I want to believe this is true because it's very much in line with what they would have done in season one. Like Jack showing up in Vegas to Saucy's birthday party in that cable knit cardigan sweater, ripping it off in the parking lot shirtless and charging Frank. Like it makes so much sense with my fantasy that this is what actually happened. But I don't know if it actually happened. It's all alleged. But God, I fucking hope that that happened. And now everyone on the cast has unfollowed Raquel on all social media. She is dead to everyone, and it's so entertaining. And then allegedly, this is happening. Andy said so that as soon as this broke, Andy and producers of Vanderpump Rules gathered a camera crew and immediately went to Ariana and Tom's house and started filming. Because even though like the filming for the season has like ended, quote unquote, they're still editing the season. I think it's only been like 4 episodes. So they have time to record what's happening now and get it into the season before they're like finished storyboarding or whatever. And honest to God, I wish that like I want them to just stop. I want them to like scrap everything they planned for the season. Just stop. Take a hiatus, film, and then come back and just rewrite the entire season, because I need to know what's happening with this right now in real time. And literally as I'm recording this, Tom Sandoval posted an apology to his Instagram, basically saying like, I deserve your anger. So admitting to the whole thing, this is no longer like, based on this, it's no longer like alleged or, you know, a rumor. No, this shit is fucking real, right? He posted his Instagram saying like, I deserve your anger, but don't take it out on my friends. They didn't know. This is on me. Schwartz didn't know, because my whole conspiracy theory was that if this has been going on for months, that I thought that Schwartz was covering for Sandoval and taking a bullet for him on the show. That like there were these, what started the whole thing, there were these rumors over the summer that Raquel, quote, Raquel and Tom made out at Coachella. So everyone thought it was Schwartz because he was going through the divorce with Katie. What if the whole time it was fucking Sandoval and Schwartz knew about it and he was covering for Sandoval by being the bad guy on the season, since he, you know, quote unquote could be, because he was getting a divorce, right? What if the whole time it was Sandoval and Raquel? So that was my conspiracy theory. But Sandoval said Schwartz didn't know. I don't think I believe that. But like, don't take out your anger on me, on my restaurants. Like, I'm a very small part of this business. Like, Schwartz and Sandy's has my name on it, but it's the livelihood for all of our employees, not just me. Same with Tom Tom. Because I guess everyone's saying like they're going to boycott their restaurants, which so he basically admitted to everything. And that literally, I'm recording this at like 10:45 a.m. on Sunday. TMZ posted that article like an hour ago. So this is like literally still happening. And if your head is spinning because you don't know who these people are, I'm so sorry. I hope you're at least entertained by how frantic and excited I am by this. And again, if you do not know who I'm talking about, you need to go back and watch Vanderpump Rules. Or at the very least, like, go read some articles that are, like, just look up Vanderpump Rules on Google right now and just read some articles of what's going on. Because it is, whether or not you know these people, just knowing how fucking messy they're all being is above and beyond. So meanwhile, as this is all happening, fucking James and Lala, who 2 weeks ago on the show, in the episode of there 2 weeks ago, are admitting they cheated on their own partners with each other, are talking about how garbage Raquel and Sandoval are for cheating. And it's like, you literally started the season admitting you were cheating, and you've both cheated on other spouses before, or other partners, significant others before. Like, get off your high horses. But going back to the tweet that I had sent, and like getting into like, you know, a little bit of a tiff with some of the younger or newer Vanderpump Rules audience members, this show, the way that it is right now, is much more entertaining than it was in the past couple seasons. Because like, the show started with everyone being gross and messy and cheating and, you know, like being not very politically correct. And I don't mean that in that like they're going around like, you know, being openly racist or homophobic, but like, it was a different time. Like, it was pre the Me Too movement, right? Like, everyone just slept with everyone. There was, you know, HR, if there was an HR at Sir, they would be having a fucking field day. But like, the whole point of the show is that everyone is just awful, and they're all screwing each other and screwing each other over. And they all work together, and some have positions of power over others. And it's just like it's a mess in like modern political context, right? But because the show predates that and like has been this way and was this way for so long before, I feel like a lot of shows like that get a pass in a way. And this is one of them to me. Obviously, like with Stassi, Kristen, and Jax getting fired, not everything can be forgiven. Or should be forgiven. But I also think that, like, you know, Kristen and Stassi, at the very least, like, you know, punish them, let them do some mea culpas. But, like, there were other people on Bravo who did much worse, who did not lose their jobs. Ramona Singer. So that's neither here nor there. My point being, this entire show is built on cheating and drama and incestuous relationships. So everyone who's watching the show and be like, this is so gross. How can they cheat on each other? How can Raquel want to make out with someone who's divorced when she's friends with the ex-wife? And it's like, okay, the fact that they're waiting until one of them is divorced to like even say, should we make out, is growth. Because the basis of the show, again, is cheating. And that's when the show is entertaining, is when they're all single or unattached or loosely attached and just going buck wild. That's when the show is at its most entertaining. And the fact that like now Tom and Ariana broken up, Tom and Katie broken up. Who's the other one? James and Raquel broken up. Lala and Rand broken up. So the fact that everyone except for Sheena right now is single is very exciting to me. But also Shishi, you got to step it up. You got to bring some drama because you're going to be gone. You're going to be gone next year if you're just putting all your eggs in the Brock basket. Like, I'm happy for you. I'm glad that you're successful in your love life and in your marriage. But, like, Sheena's not going to be around much longer if she's the only married biddy on the show. So all of this is so entertaining to me. But, like, again, this is not a show that could have existed the way that season one did if it premiered today. And I think that's what a lot of people are having issue with. And why, for me, this story of like the Sandoval and Raquel and the breakup of Tom and Ariana, like why this is so entertaining is that it is so in line with the show that I fell in love with 10 years ago and that I've missed for the past, you know, four seasons or so. But to everyone else, they're like, this is so gross. How could they do this? And I'm like, bitch, do more. Like, who else is on the show that's single? Fuck them too. Go have sex with them in the break room. Please, that dirty ass futon behind Sir, is that thing still there? If it is, I want to see people having sex on it right now. Because that's how that's what this show is. It's so entertaining. It's so trashy, like the epitome of trashy. But it is so good for that. And like this show is the very definition of a guilty pleasure. There are no redeeming qualities. Like with the Housewives, they're definitely guilty pleasures, but also like there's some type of admirability there because they're entrepreneurs or because, you know, they're like, they're hustlers. A lot of them like use the show to gain a sense of agency so they can leave abusive relationships or speak out on abuses they've suffered, like Taylor on Beverly Hills did. So like there's some like deeper thing there that does not exist on Vanderpump Rules. It's just an enjoyably trashy reality show that's similar to a soap opera with young, pretty people who want to be actors but aren't talented enough, so they end up reality TV stars. That's perfect TV to me. And with all this shit going on, I'm so excited to watch the rest of the season unfold. I cannot wait to see that new footage they're going to insert by the end of the season, hopefully. And I can't fucking wait for the reunion. I hope the reunion is as long as the whole season. If this is a 15 to 18 episode season, I want a 15 to 18 episode reunion. I want a whole new season that's just updates. God, I can't wait. It's so good. Okay. How long have I been talking? That was almost a half an hour talking about Vanderpump Rules. I'm sorry, I can't help myself. Really briefly, also, I want to touch on this new season of Survivor. Because speaking of mess, this season of Survivor, guys, it's been one episode. Granted, it was 1 2-hour premiere episode, but it's been one episode. And three people have had to have medical intervention. And if you are a Survivor watcher, you know how actually rare it is for people to not only get so hurt that they need medical attention, but to get so hurt or so sick that they get medevaced. Especially this is season 44. Like it really, as memorable as a lot of the like evacuations are, they're not that common. And in this episode, we had a medevac. And we had two other examples of people who needed medical intervention. So right off the bat, beginning of the episode, the very first challenge, they get off the boats, they're on the beach, they're about to start their first challenge. They do little introductions. Right, like a few minutes into the challenge, Bruce, big, tall, buff, black dude, dives, hits his head on an apparatus, cuts his head open. He's like letting it free bleed. His entire face is red and it's covered in sand and shit because he has to like dive underneath of like a cage looking thing, like a platform, into the sand and crawl underneath it. And he hits his head on the thing as he's diving in, but then still crawls. So he's covered in blood. He's like, I'm fine. Then he like lays down on the ground and is like, oh, I'm a little lightheaded. So then he gets medical. They strap him up to some oxygen. They're like, oh, his blood pressure probably dropped because of all the blood, blah, 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 whatever. He finishes the challenge, goes back to camp. The next day, or that night, I forget which, he gets a migraine, a headache, probably maybe a minor concussion, but he gets a headache, can't deal with it. He gets medevaced. Day one. Then the next day we're at a different tribe and Matt, I don't know which he really goes by. Matt, I think, who we've just heard his backstory, is gay and has a kid and is here to like, is short and has been working for years to build muscle to prove himself. He just randomly starts climbing a rock formation in the middle of the ocean to get to the top. I don't know if he like thought there might be like bird eggs up there or something, or if he just wants to be a crazy asshole, but he starts climbing up the rocks, falls off of them. Like, and I'm not talking about like, you know, stumbles a few feet. Like he's more than halfway up this rock formation and falls a good, I would say 20 to 30 feet into a tidal pool and dislocates his shoulder, and he gets up, pops it back into place, but then he has to wear a sling that medical gives him for the rest of his time there. So now he is a one-armed tribe member. That's day two. Then at the first immunity challenge, Brandon, who is a former professional football player, although I have to digress for 1 second. Brandon is from Newtown, Pennsylvania, which is one town over from me. And I'm in Newtown all the time. The church that I work at, we have a lot of, is also it was like triangulated. So the town I live in and the town I work in and this town form a little triangle. So very ingrained in this town and there all the time. A theater group I work with is in Newtown, right? So he's from Newtown. He went to the high school there, Council Rock North. And he is like, was for a little bit, like kind of a local celebrity because he signed with the Seattle Seahawks after college. And he never played because he was injured. And he spent, I think, 3 seasons injured with the Seattle Seahawks, not playing. Then he like signed with some other team in a different league and he never played with them either. And then he spent 1 season right before the pandemic in 2019 playing for the Philadelphia Soul, which was our arena football league in Philadelphia. And that was their last season. They don't exist anymore. He played 1 season of arena football and that's it. So when they're saying like he's a former professional football player, like pretty much in name only, like sorry to say. Anyway, he's like a bit like, but he's built like an athlete, obviously. And on day 3, he passes out, not even doing anything. I don't even think he was participating in the challenge. I think he sat out or he was already done his part or something. And he passes out because he's dehydrated on day 2 or 3. Like of all things to be dehydrated on Survivor is the dumbest because the one thing they give you is water. They don't give you food anymore. They don't give you shelter. You can bring some clothes, but the one thing that you get is water. And I always think every time they're talking about how hungry they are on the show, I think about like, oh God, 20 plus years ago, Colby Donaldson from season 2 and then also Heroes and Villains, maybe another season, Australian Outback, he was a runner up. And he also hosted Top Shot on History Channel. I loved that show. He gave an interview, I think it might have been at the reunion for Australian Outback that I watched literally 20 years ago when he was asked, like, how do you deal with the hunger? And he said, I fooled my belly into thinking it was full by filling it with water. And I think about that literally every time I watch the show and someone says they're hungry. I'm like, fill your belly up with water, Colby Donaldson. So it's the dumbest thing to get dehydrated on the show, especially this early and when you're not even doing anything. So he goes down and has to get medical intervention, and he's dehydrated. So we have 3 medical interventions in 1 episode. This cast is fragile. Fragile. I don't know what happened, why they are like this, if it's all just their own stupidity, if it's their own ambitiousness or both, or if they just don't make survivors the way they used to. Which I think might be part of it is that people have like studied the game and shit and like trained for this. And then, whereas before it was just people who were like, they were literally just were put out there and survived. I don't know, but what a wild first episode. And by the end of it, what a frustrating one. That the whole episode, you're just watching people be like, you know, strapped up to gurneys and with like tubes in and out of their noses and their mouths and their arms. Guys, it is 1 episode. It's been 1 episode. 1 episode. Holy mother of God. And the fact, like, I don't know who anyone is. Like, they barely got to introduce anyone. There are people who's like, I'm looking at a cast list and faces, and I'm like, literally, I don't even know if they ever showed you because they spent so much time establishing these people and their medical issues. And the only person they spent, you know, like, a decent amount of time looking at who was not involved in either the elimination or in a medical situation was this crazy bitch Carolyn, who after the first challenge, she's hugging her teammates and goes, I peed my pants. Oh my God. And now like in the first challenge, she like stops in the middle of the first challenge to take her pants off. Like, she's just nutso. And I don't know if she has, like, tattooed eyeliner or if she just, it's years of caked on. But by day 3, she still had eyeliner on somehow. She's crazy and hysterical. And wow. Wow. This season's going to be a lot. It's going to be a lot. If this is any indication. And, like, as bored as I always am by Survivor nowadays, one, because they never change the location. Like I read somewhere, I don't know if this is true or not, that Survivor and the producers, the production company, whoever, CBS, I don't know, somebody involved with the production of Survivor bought the island that they film on. So they're just always going to film Survivor there now, which is annoying to me because, like, part of what I used to love about Survivor was when they would change it up every season and go to, like, different locations and stuff. And they don't do that anymore. And, you know, like, there are so many advantages and immunity to idols, and, like, they keep changing the game, and I don't think they really ever change it for the better. Like, we all thought that Ghost Island was terrible. We all thought Redemption Island was terrible. Exile Island. Give us those back and take back these stupid advantages and the 18 million immunity idols. Like, I would rather Redemption Island or Ghost Island, whatever the hell. I don't care. Give us a gimmick that, like, actually makes sense and not these, like, save a vote advantages, or, like, there's 15 advantages being played at one time because everyone has one and no one knows when to ever use them. So they, half the time, you have to learn where these advantages are and they never fucking get played because no one knows when to use them because they all have advantages. Anyway, it's been one episode. And honestly, this was the most entertaining premiere in a while. So we'll see where this season goes. But Survivor 44 is on Wednesdays at 8 on CBS. And like I said at the top of this episode, it got renewed for more seasons going forward. So we'll see what happens. We'll see. Okay. I'm exhausted, but that was my recaps for the week. Let's see. My recommendation for the week. I finally started using my Apple TV Plus subscription. So I get Apple TV Plus for free through T-Mobile, and I get it for a year, and I've had it since like July. And I don't watch like anything. The only thing I've watched, I watched the first two seasons of Servant when I like years ago. So I started season three of Servant. I haven't finished it because I don't like it anymore. But this season is the fourth, and it's the last. So I might go back. I might like complete it. I think I watched like one episode of a few things. What did I watch one episode of? Not Truth Be Told. The one with the little girl who is like trying to solve a crime with Jim Sturgess. Home Before Dark. I watched one or two episodes of Home Before Dark. I watched the first season of Severance, which I did not like. I think I've definitely talked about that on the podcast. I watched The Boy, the Mole, the Horse, and the Fox, or The Fox and the Horse, whatever that short is that got nominated for the Oscar for Best Animated Short. I watched that. But I actually have been watching an Apple TV Plus series like as it's airing, and I'm enjoying it. And that series is Shrinking. It is created by Bill Lawrence, I think his name is, who did Scrubs, and Brett Goldstein from Ted Lasso, the football player, soccer player, whatever, however you want to say it, who won the Emmy for season one. I don't know his character's name because I don't watch the show, but he won the acting Emmy, supporting actor, for season one. He wrote and created this show, and it stars Jason Segel from How I Met Your Mother and Forgetting Sarah Marshall and a bunch of other shit, obviously, and Harrison Ford. Whew. And I can never remember her name, but she's, oh God, she's from Two Dope Queens, but she is not Phoebe Robinson. The other one, Jessica Williams. I'm going to say it's Jessica Williams. I think that's her. Anyway, she's on it. And like Heidi Gardner from SNL has some cameos. Not some cameos. She's like a supporting player in a couple of episodes. Michael Urie, who I love from Ugly Betty and a Broadway actor. He is on it as Jason Segel's character's best friend. And basically it is a series about, his name is Jimmy, played by Jason Segel. And he's a therapist, but the show starts, his wife has died and he's been spiraling for months and like doing drugs and having orgies and just basically not coping. And when he goes to work as a therapist, like, because he has so many of his own problems, he like gets really frustrated with his clients and tells one of them, Heidi Gardner's character, like basically just stops everything. And instead of like being a therapist, like crosses boundaries and says, look, you need to leave your husband. Like, you've been talking how awful he is. You need to leave your husband. And if you don't leave your husband, I can't be your therapist. So she agrees. And he's like, I think I helped somebody. And then he keeps like crossing these boundaries and doing this like outside the box, you know, basically like you lose your license stuff with his clients, including a soldier with PTSD who he encourages to get to fight at like a boxing club to kind of get his anger out. So he stops fighting random strangers in public and getting in trouble for it. And some other people, and like Harrison Ford plays his mentor, who's also a therapist. Jessica Williams plays his best friend, who's also a therapist. And he like has a teenage daughter who is going through it because obviously her mom died. And it's just, it's a really sweet ensemble show, and it's very funny. And Jason Segel is very good, and Harrison Ford is hysterical. Jessica Williams steals the show for me. And it's just, it's dark and satirical, but also very affirming and sweet, like I said, and charming. And Jason Segel is just so good. And he really makes you feel for him. And he's very good at the grieving, but also obviously very good at the comedy, especially the physical comedy. And it's just, it's, I don't know. It's, I wonder if this is like, if this same feeling is the feeling people get from Ted Lasso, where people are like, it's just so nice. It's such a nice show, and it's a kind show, which I've never watched, but that's like what I hear so often about why people enjoy the show. It's that kind of feeling of like, this is just a really nice show. This is a really pleasant way and a really light way, even though it deals with some dark issues and some deep traumatic shit. It does it in a really accessible and relatable and uplifting kind of way. And I really enjoy it. And the episodes are short and they go by really quickly. I think there have been 6 or 7 so far. 6 maybe. And there's 8 episodes total, I want to say. But it airs on Fridays. Episodes are released on Apple TV Plus. And there, like I said, there's at least 6 or 7 now. I forget how many. And I really recommend it. And I'm surprised you're saying that because, like I said, I either have ignored or not liked everything I've watched on Apple TV Plus so far. But if you have this subscription service to Apple TV Plus and you don't use it, which I imagine, like, there's no library on Apple TV Plus. So if you're not watching all of its originals, you're probably not using it very often. Here's, you can use it and watch this. Like, I always forget I even have it. But now that I'm enjoying this, like, I'm going to try to start maybe watching some of the other stuff that, like, maybe even just vaguely interests me. They have another show that just started with Billy Crudup called Hello Tomorrow, where he's, like, selling timeshares on the moon or something like that. I want to give that a shot. I want to finish Servant. Maybe I'll actually fucking watch Ted Lasso. Who knows? But, yeah, they have a new show coming out in a couple weeks with Meryl Streep that's about climate change called Extrapolations. I'm going to give that a shot. So we'll see. We'll see. But Shrinking is my recommendation for the week on Apple TV Plus. I really enjoy it. Hopefully you will too. All right. Thank you so much for tuning into this chaotic episode of Vanderpump Rules Talk. I'll be back in a couple of weeks with another episode of Fake TV Critic with more recaps, more reviews, more analyses, and more recommendations. Have a good one, everyone.